Hey Mummy, it's Pickle, what are you doing? Well Pickle, I'm having to record a new advert for the Bailey and Harding ultrasound system because people started taking the piss out of the way that I said the word apparel. That's really mean, Mummy. I know, darling, but you know what people are like. Lots of people are absolute bellends, so I'm having to do it again. So what's the advert for then, Mummy? Tell me. Well, darling, it's for shoes. So it's for the Trailfly trail running shoe. What are they like though, Mummy? Well, they've got 4mm rubber studs and are perfect for gripping dry rock and hard-packed dry ground. And the graphite grip rubber outsole has been improved from the previous models. Do you remember when I had a green pair? It's been improved from that. Those shoes are so good, aren't they, Mum? You seem to wear them every day. I do wear them every day, Pickle. They're my day-to-day go-to shoe, and I love them. But how would they go about winning a pair? Well, you need to go to our Instagram page on your Pi phone. Head to Ultra Sound System Pod, click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you that you're a winner. But because you're a dog, you're going to need to win two pairs because you've got four paws. Yeah, well, you know me, Mummy. I can always get away with two and just do handstands all around the place. Thanks for that, Pickle. If you can't wait to see if you're a winner, then you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit when you purchase it from the website with the code that you can also find in our link tree. That's so great, Mummy. That sounds like a great thing to win anyway. I might get sponsored by Innovate. You're sponsored by Nonstop, darling. Should we go for a run? Okay, Mummy, let's go. On with the pod, which contains lots of swearing and some very immature adult themes. Welcome to the Bailey and Ultrasound System. This is the debrief. I went and did the Spine Baby Challenger summer thing. So I've got myself a work experience journalist to interview me. It's the best I could do because Kirsty was busy and Holly's busy too. So I've ended up with Damien again. Good intro, right?
You scripted that. You wrote that.
I didn't. I just
weeks ago. You wrote that weeks ago. Yeah. I can tell. I could see your eyes. You were reading from a script. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on your brutal fun run.
Britain's most brutal
fun run. I know, Ali, you don't like talking about yourself or sharing things. But how was it? Let's start with how are you feeling right now? Because when people ask how is recovery going, they don't really want the real answer. They want some gory bits, you know, some chafing and some toenail stuff. How are you feeling right now, physically
I feel like shit. I feel like shit, everyone.
Good.
I feel That's miserable. I feel like crying. I just feel like crying. I feel exhausted. I can't go to sleep. I don't want to eat anything. I'm sweating like an absolute bastard all the time. And my feet are perfect. And what else? I've got some chafing I didn't even know about on my back and nowhere else.
Oh, on your back?
Yeah, like right on the bottom of my back and on the bit where your bra goes.
I get that. Yeah. Showers. That's when it hurts. Yeah.
Exactly. But do you get that with a bag?
Sometimes, yeah, down the lower back, yeah. That's yeah, fine, the bit where you're just carry all that stupid apparel.
Yeah, all that stupid apparel. That was quite early on that happened. And then my bra strap, and I was on my own for ages, so I couldn't get anyone to put anything on it. Well, how else do I feel? I feel like I can walk up and down the stairs physically, I'm absolutely fine. But like I just feel shit. You know, do you ever feel like you have a really bad cold after doing something like that?
Yeah, just kind of wiped out, just low energy, emotions everywhere. I mean, I've read your book. Isn't what you described there, isn't that just sort of normal? Sorry, that was...
Fuck me. Fuck me.
That does sound... Sorry,
do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of having a hangover because you're dehydrated and you're miserable and there's bits you can't remember. And it's like you've been on a massive bender. And so it reminds me of that. So I don't know. I just don't like it very much, to be quite frank. But the weird thing is that now I'm like, oh, right. So when am I going to do the full one? Like, not even like it's an option. Like, it's just the fucking thing that you do. And on that event, I said to myself and I said to my friends and I sent voice notes saying, keep this. Today's date is this. I'm saying to you now, I'm never coming back up here again. I can't do it. I hate it. It's the worst experience of my life. Please, if I try and sign up, stop me. And now I'm like, nothing's going to stop me signing up for the full spine. What the fuck?
Brilliant.
Is
I was going to save that question to the end, but that you've already answered it. We can cut the podcast short now. No.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye bye now. Have a good day.
That is brilliant. Just one last thing on recovery. Does this feel about the same as previous 100 mile? Like, so we're talking on Tuesday, you finished the race.
Sunday.
When was it? Sunday. Does this feel about the same as other 100 mile races just afterwards?
No, it doesn't. Like, physically, I'm way better. Like, way better. Like, I could literally run up and down the stairs. And the thing is, I didn't like, I really tried very hard with this race. Like, I trained hard for it and I did try. So if I think about the arc or like Autumn 100 last year, I was in bits after the Autumn 100. I think I had a virus and I don't know what happened. But this time it's different. And I think that's the training. I honestly think it's the training. I feel like I could go out for a run now without a problem, apart from the fact I've got slight tendonitis in my foot and I'm tired. But magic, right?
It's magical. Is it, Ali, is it the training or is it that the Pennine Way is so nice to run on?
It's the training. Thanks. We need to talk about Pennine Way.
We could. Well, let's jump. Well, no, let's go on with your training. So I've always been quite intrigued in, yeah, what is it that has been different with Holly Rush Staples coaching you? What has she changed?
You got your notebook out, have you? You writing notes?
No. No, but Holly is a very respectable athlete and coach, incredible athlete and coach.
If there was a fight between you and Holly, a physical fight, who do you think would win?
Holly.
Thank you. So what's different is that, one, I'm doing less in the gym, but more in the gym, which is weird. Like,
she got you to put your phone down?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to video it for Pete's weird video collection of me doing one-legged squats with a fucking thing.
We'll leave that.
So the gym is different. Like, I'm like, this isn't hard, but I feel like it is hard, but it's not. You know, it's like less reps but higher weight. And other thing is, I'm not running as much. Like, I run and I'm doing intervals and I'm doing hills. I've never done intervals or hills, so I'm doing both once a week. But it's not that much different, except it's less. It's definitely less. Weird, isn't it?
What would you say was your average volume before and what has it been in this build?
Average volume before was 50, 60 miles a week. And then now it's more like 40 to 50 miles a week. So it's not that different. But the thing is, they're different sessions, aren't they? Because an interval session is 7 miles of hard work, whereas I was just going out with the dog all the time. And I was about to say that B word. And jogging around with my dog. And now I'm not doing that. I take her out twice a week. Poor Pickle. She's like, I hate you, Mummy.
Gosh, Pickle needs a coach. Okay, interesting. So you think that, yeah, that change in training, but also pre-race, before we get into it, what were your goals and how are you feeling mentally? Because I believe you had a busy week or two beforehand talking about yourself a lot.
I wanted to finish with a three in the number at the beginning. I didn't want to go over 40 hours for no reason other than I just thought I think I could do that. So I didn't really care. That was the A game. I don't care about anything else. I wanted to have a nice time. I wanted to not be injured. I wanted to have some gratitude for the fact I'm able to be out there. And that was it. And do the very best that I thought that I could for myself. That's all I wanted to do. I think I was quite vocal downstairs. And it was just bad timing, wasn't it? Because it was the last 2 weeks of the tour, which were really horrible and hard work. And also I was working the whole time I was on tour. So I was coaching and doing other stuff. It just wasn't the best run up. But then in a way it was, because it was taper week. So I didn't have to run, did I? I just had to go and talk about myself, which is easy because I'm a narcissist. Second nature.
Yeah, there was part of me. I'd hate to openly voice sympathy towards you. Especially while the listener is possibly listening. But yeah, that must have been very exhausting. But did it work as a distraction as well, sort of thing? Like, you couldn't think too much about it? No.
No. But you're actually right, okay? I didn't actually think about it at all, the race at all, until Friday when I had to pack my bag. And I packed my bag once and I didn't fuck about. I don't fuck about with drop bags anymore because I think it's just stupid. Like, my drop bag was that big and it had the stuff I needed in it. My pajamas and the stuff I needed in it. It didn't have like 18 different types of kit. It did have lots of waterproofs, which I'm very glad about. But like other people's drop bags were fucking massive, like 70, 80 litre jobs. And they were just in Hebden pulling everything out and throwing it all over the floor. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, because you get choice, that thing, don't you? Where there's too much choice.
Too much choice. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Here's a great moment actually to go into. I think it comes from Sabrina Verge. She doesn't call it faffing. She calls it man faffing. Is there a gender difference?
Yes, there is. My friend Robert Horndog Hornshaw, who is my athlete, who was running this race with me, when I turned up on my bag, he was like, fucking hell, how have you packed that? And I was like, well, because I've done it loads of times. Like when you do something like Run Britannia, you know, where you're doing multi-day all the time, you've got to be organised. And his was, and he said, that's the one thing you need to look at is his fucking bag. Because when you have too much shit, you're just overwhelmed by choice, aren't you? And you end up going, I don't know what to do. I just don't fucking know what to do. Like with food, with clothes, with shoes, people that take three pairs of shoes, don't take three pairs of shoes. What's wrong with the pair you've got on? Like, just wear those shoes. They are going to get muddy again. I just didn't have time to think about it. So it was good. But at the same time, it was also just tiring. It's just exhausting. What do you do the week before the spine? Well, the proper spine, the big one.
Oh.
I told you I was going to ask you questions.
Oh, drat. Well, yeah, I pack my bag and then I unpack it and I pack it again.
Don't give me that shit. What do you actually do?
Well, I really like night or day before a big race. I really like to make time to watch a film to really take my mind. Ideally, not a running film, something really cheesy like Braveheart or Gladiator. Or
just been talking to James Elson about Gladiator, ruining his South Downs Way 100, Gladiator 2.
Oh, what? He watched it before, innit?
No, they were filming Gladiator 2 during the South Downs Way 100, and then the woman who was on the film set was directing runners off the course to say, yeah, we're actually filming at the moment, so you've got to run off the course. And then Drew had to go up and tell them all off. It was very exciting. Anyway.
That would have been so good in the background of a war scene, just a load of
Dan
shuffling
Lawson, just like
runners.
His top off. It's perfect. Oh, brilliant. They won't even have to edit it out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looks like an ancient warrior. Yeah. Oh, drat. Anyway, off track.
The week before the spine, what are you doing? Like, are you going
to get
8
extra
o'clock?
Sleep. Like, the boring answer is, yeah, I'm trying to bank sleep, trying to get extra sleep. Maybe getting a nutrition plan in place, depending on the race. Just boring stuff.
Shit already nailed down? Like, are you not just like, just if I had my way, I would go away for a week to where there's no people and no things, and I would just lay down, like literally what I'm about to do now after the race, and have nothing and just be zen. That's what the ideal situation would be. No coaching, no nothing. Like total,
well,
like battery get up.
Yeah, I mean, like you, well, you're probably better organised than me. But yeah, it's trying to get, making sure you're on top of coaching before you go away, which, you know, sometimes you get right and sometimes you don't, I suppose. And then try and spend time with my kids, although they find that annoying. Those things really. I can't think of a very exciting answer for you.
I'm just really interested in what you do. Like, there's a difference between me and you.
Oh, okay.
You're really good and I'm bang average, but I just think it's interesting for people to hear, because when I think about normal people that have normal jobs, let's face it, neither of us have got a fucking normal job. Imagine working like 9 to 5 and then having to come home and then having to do all the kids stuff and having to, like, you know, you've got to concentrate at work, whatever it is you're fucking doing. You can't just think about your bag. Whereas at least with me and you, we get to think about it all the time because it's what we do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do try and get a leg massage maybe on the Monday, full massage. But yeah, you suddenly can have too much time though. Like if you you don't want to be thinking about it too much. You don't want to be too over. What's the word? You know, overthinking it.
I think it's more about like the getting your energy levels up. Like my energy levels, I reckon my body battery was at about 10 when I fucking started that race, and I knew about it at about 2 o'clock in the morning when I was basically tiredness came up onto the moor and went. And then punched me around the face. So it was like, I think you need to go to sleep now. And I was like, but I can't go to sleep now. That was horrible. And I've not had that. I've started to get it more and more in hundreds. I've had it on the arc, but I could sleep in the car for like 10 minutes. Like, it just was fucking, I was just exhausted. Like from the get-go, I was exhausted. It was hard. It's my own fault.
Well, let's get into that. But I've got one more question. Most of us who have done a spine race know the most difficult part is the kit check. How was that?
Absolutely fabulous. Walked up to kit check, right? With my bag, one bag. They said to me, what's your number? I said, 307. They went, great, partial kit check. My athlete, Robert, what's your number? 370. It ends in a zero, full kit check. I was like, yes. His face just dropped. And I was like, well, I'll see you later then. So my kit check was easy because it was just easy, wasn't it? Like, where's your whistle? Here's your whistle. Then I only had like 8 items, but he had everything. But he passed it and it was all fine. There was a slight argument about his hat, you know, like about hats or something like that. But yeah, it was fine. And then the most annoying bit was a fucking kit check at Hebden. After I'd packed all my bag and I was like, right, I'm going now. And I turned around and this bloke's there with a clipboard and I'm like, you can get fucked. But he was like, I need to check your bag. And that's when he checked your bivvy bag.
And it passed.
Yeah, it did. Well done.
Well, we'll get on to the bivvy bag. And
it passed then because it didn't have any holes in it then. But now I'm not sure it will pass.
My expensive spine winning bivvy bag. Yes.
Black bin bag.
So rude.
I wish you could see Damien's face now, Fiona, because it's not, he doesn't look very pleased. It's got some holes. It's okay, I've sewn them up. I use quite a heavy thread.
I'm sure that's definitely waterproof still. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your, everything. Let's get into the race then. So, that was mixed. How was the first, I don't know, how was the first bit?
Great. It was great. Like Holly said to me, you need to believe in yourself a bit more. And I went, all right then, I'm going to start the front. So I did, because I didn't want to get stuck in a bottleneck because the gates and stuff. So I did start at the front and I was like, fuck this. I'm going to just crack on and I'm not going to win it. I know I'm not going to win it, but I just want to get ahead of people because I know that there are little, you know, the little gates and weird bits, that like wriggly bit that goes towards Jacob's Ladder. God, I'm so good at geography and naming places. This is going to be great because both of us are shit at this. So that wiggly bit, I got my map. Have you got your own guidebook?
Yeah.
Perfect. That's quite a big book, isn't it, that guidebook?
Can't trust anything in it. Yeah.
It's quite thick. Anyway. Did you really write all of that?
Well, it's mostly turn left, turn right, and some of that could be wrong.
Okay, perfect.
Anyway, so we've got to Jacob's Ladder.
Got to Jacob's Ladder.
So far, so good, Jacob's Ladder. For those who don't know, Jacob's Ladder's 2 or 3 miles in.
Doesn't really look like a ladder, does it?
Technically not a ladder. Fair. That is a fair comment. Technically not a ladder.
Big steps.
Mm. Okay, but it's a climb. Steepish climb. Quite short, really.
Up the big steps of death. Everything was great. The weather was amazing. It was perfect until about 12 o'clock. I met some well nice people, like running across that lovely bit of Kinder, like towards Bleaklow. That was lovely. I met some really nice people, including one of your ex-athletes. He didn't have very much nice stuff to say about you, but he's my client now. He's not really. And then it started to rain. At 12 o'clock, it started to rain. As we came up, you know, that bit that we did, I actually really enjoyed this section because me and you had done it together. And I was like, this is where me and Damien came up and it was really nice. We had a really nice day out. Honestly, that's what I was thinking. And then me and Sarah Perry did it as well. So that was nice as well. And
is that the bit that you fixed? The bit of the pen and way you fixed?
Yeah, ran across that. That's where it started to rain. And it didn't fucking stop.
Was it still in place, the bit that you fixed?
No, it's quite muddy. Well, I didn't do a very good job.
Oops.
Yeah, so then it started to rain.
Okay. And did it run for a long time? And how did that, you know, affect your, did it dampen your spirits as well as your apparel?
Did it dampen my spirits? Yes, it did. It was really raining and it was very, very cold and it was quite windy. You know that bit when you get to the campsite at Croydon, just before you get to the campsite at Croydon and then you take a left, you got that really massive hill?
Yep.
The ridge. That was really horrible because it was windy and it was raining fucking hard. And I was just like, this is bullshit because I signed up for a summer race. And so I had to put 3 coats on. Do you ever do that? Or do you just wear one? Or were you just 2 double-eyed bastards?
Just in my vest. Just right. In my vest all the time on the winter spine race.
Yeah, just vest perfect. Weather. So then I was like, oh, wicked, now I've used all my coats. And then we just cracked on to...
You were running with 3 waterproof jackets.
2 waterproof jackets and a t-shirt. Because I just was like, these are going to wet through. If I get cold, it's fucking game over. I get into a right mood. Even more of a mood than I usually am in. So I just cracked on to Wassenden and then got to the burger van and thought, I'm out of water.
Oh, yes, we need to clarify. So how much water did you start with? Because you prefer to have about 6 liters.
Damien doesn't run with water, listener. He doesn't run with any water. He just, I don't know
It's
what he
raining.
does. It's like a lizard.
Puddles.
He just takes it out of like the air.
I mean, I do look probably dehydrated, but how many liters did you start with?
2 liters. You have to start with the capacity for 3 liters, and they tell you to start with 3 liters of liquid on you. They tell you that in the briefing quite clearly, right?
That's not mandatory.
2 liters I started with. You
Okay.
have to have 3 liters worth of bottles though, don't you?
Capacity.
So what do
Capacity.
you, so what
I
do
mean, you
you
could put your
have?
shoes, you shoe, you could, your shoes could turn into
Oh my God, you're
water
such a
receptacle.
dick. You're such a dick. Like, is that what you say to Lindley?
I got a feeling that wouldn't get past Lindley.
No.
No.
No. I ordered a new bladder. I haven't sent you a picture of it yet, but I will because it's funny. It's 3 liters. It's massive. It's as big as a bivy. Filled it up with two. Because then I was like, I don't have
Well,
to
that's
take
the thing, bivy,
bottles.
that your bivy, waterproof bivy would carry, yeah, loads. Sorry, go on.
Waterproof socks, you can fill them up. They've got to be 500 mils each. Right?
Exactly.
I started with 2 liters. I ran out by the time I got to Watson Dinner. I had to go to the burger van. I bought 2 bottles of water and a Coke. I drank the Coke. I decanted the bottles of water. I cursed the fact that I had now plastic bottles on me that I had to get rid of. So I just threw them into the nearest hedge.
That is the best thing to do. Yep.
It is definitely, I think one of them landed on a mouse's head, which was good. I hadn't done that bit, that section from Boston over to the other bit, to Nicky's. So that
You
was
told me in
new.
one of your angry WhatsApp messages that you'd recce every single,
I had except
you know,
that
when
bit.
you're okay,
They
just
weren't
checking.
angry. I thought you were giving me encouragements. Anyway, look, it was all fine. And I got to Hebden Bridge. I was thinking this is quite hard going, and then I got completely changed to my pyjamas, my nighttime
So
outfit.
hold on, just so for people who don't know the Pennine Way, so Hebden Bridge, it's the main, it's really the main checkpoint that you have, and it's about what, 46 miles in, and we're now
Yeah.
talking, what sort of time of day is this
Oh,
now?
hang on a minute. I just need to mention this, right? Because this is annoying. At Nicky's Cafe, so at the M62 crossing, there's a cafe. It's in a container ship thing, not in a ship. It's in the container that comes off the ship, and it's brilliant. And I'd ordered myself a halloumi burger, and I was very excited about it because I was fucking starving. And I got in there, and this bloke got in there that came in, and then he barged me out of the way to leave. He was another competitor, and when I came around the corner, he was being crewed by someone. And I was livid. He was sat down. He had this dude looking at his feet who was not a safety team member. And I was absolutely fucking livid because one, he'd barged me. And two, he was being crude. So
And just to
I
confirm, you're
reported
not
him.
allowed.
Thank you very
Well, to
much.
confirm, you're not allowed to be crude, right?
No.
You did report him.
When I got to Hebden, I reported him.
What was the outcome of that? Do you
I don't
know?
fucking know. I don't like him. He had a stupid hat on. And
Was he one of my
he was annoying.
ex-athletes as well?
No, he wasn't, but he was using lecky poles, so it's probably someone you know. I was just
Gosh,
like, the thing is,
okay.
right, there was a lot of crewing going on at Wassenden. There was a lot of cars. There was a bloke there, and he's probably fucking listening to this as well, because I know he listens to the podcast. But his missus was there with their baby, and he was talking to them, and he was like giving the baby a cuddle. And I'm like, do you know what? I'd really like to see my dog, or I'd like to see like one of my friends. Maybe that would be nice, because I haven't like spoken to anyone for a while. It's just shit. I think, like, why do people break these rules? Like, why do people do it?
Well, so technically, would they be allowed to turn up once?
So, like,
But
they
that would still.
say once, but the thing is, it's not once, though, is it? Because if you come out to the Pennine Way, it's not like it's London Marathon where you like it's easy to get to. It's a ball lake, so you see them more than once. But I think just don't do it. Just don't even tempt it. It just does my nut in that people don't follow the rules.
Whatever support he got, you should have been entitled to equal support. So
So I should have been able to
you
touch
should
the
have got a
baby as
hug from
well.
the hug. But yes. Yeah, so
That's the problem.
next time, just barrel in. Yeah, say, hold on, I need a hug from this
I
baby.
hate babies. I don't want to touch them. If it was a dog, it would be different. But stop doing that, people. If you've entered an unsupported race, then treat it like an unsupported race. Thanks. All the best. I got very lonely, as I think you know from my WhatsApp messages.
Okay, so, oh, okay, and then we're on to Hebden.
Yep, so then I ran to Hebden and then it was all fine. And then
It's
I
the one
had.
place you can get to. Sorry, interrupting.
No, go on, you
Just
do
trying to
it.
give
You
some
do it.
context to the listener. The listener.
Go on, you do it. It's your way.
It's just some context, some details. some facts for people. So this is the one place you can get to your drop bag. Yeah. The only time. But please carry on and get your pajama, your running pajamas on.
Yeah. So if you were getting, when you got to Hebden, have you ever done the little spine or have you just done the big ones? You've just done the big ones. What do you do at Hebden?
I change my socks usually, and I'm obviously quite thirsty. We get some soup and tea and Coca-Cola, and we get out there, back out there soon.
What are you eating?
On the whole thing, sandwiches.
What? How long would it take you to get to Hebden? How long did it take you in the winter to get to Hebden?
I'd have to double check. It's usually just about getting dark, so I guess is that about 4 o'clock?
Fucking hell.
What time was it?
Oh, it was about 7:30 for me.
That's close.
Not really, is it? So the fact is you're running a lot faster than me. So you must be more hungry than me. Do you just not eat food? Like, what are you eating?
I eat lots. No, but I'm thirsty. Yeah, I'm thirsty. What am I eating? I do like those Villaforte chews and sandwiches.
Where are you keeping the fucking sandwiches?
In the bum bag.
How are the sandwiches not getting smashed up? What are the sandwiches? Bagel. Oh, yeah,
bagels,
we know. It's
bagels are quite
hummus,
good.
Hummus, isn't it? It's fucking hummus. Avocado.
Avocado, yeah. Yeah.
And what's when are you that? Eating the sandwiches? Are you like eating them as you're running along? Because you ain't stopping for a picnic, are you?
No, yeah, you'd eat a bit. So you wouldn't try and ram it all in one go. You'd have some nibbles on it.
Right, don't try and ram it all in one go. Brilliant. Hannah Rickman the other day gave me a little tiny bit of sandwich. It was a thin, like a Warburton's thin or something with biscuits.
Hold on, was she crewing you?
No, this was the other day. This
okay,
was
just checking.
Cakes. We were on Helvellyn having a nice time.
Just anyway, checking.
We were on a different one. Yeah, we were on Helvellyn, were we? I can't remember.
Some of this doesn't stack up.
The other day, when I was at the Mountain Festival, me and Hannah and Sam and Kirsty went for a run and we went up Skiddaw. She had these little sandwiches. Okay. They're Biscoff spread. And she got the Biscoff, she got the Warburton's thin stuff and she put the Biscoff spread and she squashed it. So it was a bit like a soft biscuit. Your face.
You're not allowed to like that. Like, you don't, look at you don't your like face. Biscoff and you don't like, what is it, soggy sandwiches? And no. That sounds like it's both.
For you, this is the dream, right? You'd love it.
Yeah.
And it was
I want to go
quite...
for a run with Hannah. Hannah, if you're listening, go on, sorry.
It was quite nice, I have to say, because it wasn't dry, but it wasn't too wet. It was delightful. It was like a sort of a Biscoff flapjack situation.
In your Biscoff and soggy sandwich hating face. Mm. But what were you eating? This is
Villaforte chews, fucking loads of them. Well, not loads of them. Every 20 minutes, I was having a few. But then I need proper food. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm just need proper food. Like, I'm like, well, if you could have anything, Ali, what would you have? And then I'm like, oh, nothing. So I'm eating Twixes, Kit Kats, yummy. Villaforte chews. I've kind of gone off the bars. I think I've had too many of them. What else did I have? That was kind of it, really. That was kind of it. And that's what I was...
And then a Hebden?
Then I had a halloumi burger at Nicky's. And Twix. And a cup of coffee. And an Iron Brew. And so I'd had a Coke at the burger van. Then I got to Hebden and I had vegan bolognese with pasta and loads of cheese. It was delicious. And then a massive bowl of that. And then I had roly-poly with custard for afters.
Wow.
Yeah, it was yummy.
That's good going. Okay. Yes.
And the people at Hebden were so kind to me. I had lovely Danielle, who was on the... Who
have
I
they not heard of you?
No, they haven't heard of me. Danielle.
Lovely Danielle. I coach Danielle.
You do coach Danielle. She's so lovely. I'm going to make... We're going to be real friends. We're going to go for a run together.
Don't try and steal her. She's one of my favourites. I don't have favourites.
She's the
winter spine race.
I know she did, because I was on the safety team and I looked after her at Gargrave when she was having a wobble.
Oh, you crewed her?
Crewed her at Gargrave, yeah. She was...
So Danielle was there?
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't the orders I...
Gave?
Yeah.
But they're not.
I did get a rude message about cat people back from her.
Did you?
Hmm.
She's not capable of being rude. She's so nice. I love her.
No, the rude message was from you.
Relate.
Anyway, Matt,
but look, you're not going to like this one a little bit. I spent an hour there, and I didn't mean to spend an hour there, but getting changed to my pajamas and eating all that food and then packing my bag for the nighttime section and the next day, because obviously that's it then. You get, I've got 100K without seeing anything or anyone or getting any food, haven't you?
Okay. But that felt like the right thing at the time, right amount of time, etc. And then how, and what time do you say it was? Half seven. So you're leaving at half eight.
I left at 8:45. And as I was coming into the checkpoint, the first lady was, I saw her going up the hill as I was coming down the hill. So she was obviously like an hour and a half. No, she's obviously like an hour and a half ahead of me. I don't give a shit about that. I just like to kind of, I felt like in this race, I felt like I was at the back of the race the whole fucking time. I didn't see anybody really from Hebden. No one, not one person. Like I was on my own for a fucking long time till I got to the Tri Club on the moor.
Lothersdale, yeah.
I love this day. I don't know where that is, but they were just there. And it was horrible. I was on my own for ages. And I haven't been on my own like that for a long, long, long time. It was quite, it's not distressing. It's just like, I'm used to having paces or crew. It was just weird and hard.
Or a big audience.
There were a huge audience telling me they love me. It was really difficult. And all I had was myself telling myself that I was a dick. So that was nice. And the moon.
So the moon can be ace. But I think you felt the moon was stalking you or something.
How was that night? I just kept thinking there was somebody behind me. It was fine. Except the problem was, for the whole race, the underfoot, it was so fucking wet. Like, it was like a wet foot situation for the entire race. Like, absolutely soaking. And the guys who were at the Tri Club were like, this is way worse than it was in the winter.
That's recency bias.
What? Recency bias? What's that?
Oh, it's when you think the most recent thing is the most is the best or the most, you know, significant thing.
You just make this shit up, don't you?
It sounded good, didn't it?
What was it like in the winter then? Was it?
Horrendous.
No, it wasn't.
No, was this it? Winter was really, really frozen terrain. So it was very fast and there was almost no bogs. It was great. But I've done other winters.
Can I ask you, when you go up there, you know the slabs? For you guys, the slabs are icy, which are a bit of a bastard, I imagine. For me, they were either moving or covered in water, and they've got big holes in the middle of them where the slab's gone because it's been pushed away by water. So that I found that quite difficult to run on because I was scared I was going to go into a hole and hurt myself because I'm a fucking princess. So what's like when it's wet up there, how do you lot do that? How do you train to run on that? You lot being those people at the front.
I get my poles out as a sort of insurance policy. So if I start to slide or something, then I can jam them into the ground as a sort of safety thing. And I let Kim Collison run ahead of me in case there's any holes.
That's what I was doing for a bit, but then I ran out of people because I ticked them.
Because you outpace them. Oh wow. Oh yeah. Like they're all gone. Tonight. Exactly. Yeah.
Into the bog. So
you were too hasty to get rid of them. So next time, yeah, let them run ahead until while you're on the slabs, I would say. They are pretty dangerous, actually, aren't they? Sometimes there's a bit missing and you don't see it because of the water and down you go.
Exactly. And that's the problem. It's dark and it's fucking, and they just were literally ankle deep water. It was like looking at rivers and the bogs were just coming off the moor. Like when I wrecked it the other week, like 4 or 5 months ago, it was lovely running. Me and Pickle were out. It was absolutely lovely. And I kept thinking, this is going to be great. This night section is going to be great. I'm going to smash it. But you just couldn't. And then I started like getting really pissed off about the fact that I wasn't going as quick as I wanted to go. And then you get a bit colder. And I was hungry. Oh, God, I'm such a moaner. How do you feel? How do you feel when you, like, do you actually even think, or are you just like, I'm in race mode. I'm just cracking on. Do you have emotions? Do you start being horrible to yourself?
Yes, I well, if you're really interested, this is more. I want to hear more about you, but yeah,
I knew one you'd of my do problems. This, but I'm like, this is my opportunity. Now I've done this bit to say to you, what is actually fucking going on with you lot when you're running through that? Because what are you thinking? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily know what other people are thinking if you're on about the faster folk. But one of my problems is I do either think everything's going fantastically or terribly. So yeah, I do spend long hours going, this has all gone wrong. This is shit. You've cocked it up. You've, yeah, you idiot. Which is usually an accurate portrayal of what's happened.
Not really, and then though, I have... because it's not, because the thing is, you are breaking course records. But don't you think it's interesting how like your brain can go there? Like I was like, you are fucking this up, Ali. You're not doing the best you can. But at the same time, I was actually doing the best I possibly could in that situation. It was such a strange thing.
Well, two more things to add to that. I would say, I hope Nikki Spinks doesn't mind me saying, but I crewed Nikki Spinks down at your ex favorite race, the Arc of Attrition, a few years ago. And pre race, I sort of tried to say, you know, what are you going to be? Although I knew Nikki quite well by then, but, you know, can you tell me anything about your mindset, how you will be behaving, how I can help with that? And she said, I do tend to think towards the end that I'm doing badly, that things aren't doing well, when actually I'm doing just fine. So I think I think that's pretty common. And the other rule to remember is, yeah, low mood, eat food. So quite often 20% of calories go to our brain, which I think is a really good fact to try and remember, because so often we're a bit underfueled and we have a vegan Kit Kat, and hopefully our mood picks up quite often, not always, but that can help. But then I do spend bits of races going, wow, it's going brilliant. It's going brilliant. This is going to be, oh yeah, this is going to be my best ever. Oh, whoops. And then, yeah, it's back the other way. So I have both.
How do you get, when you're in the, like, you know, because the first time I ever met you, when you asked for a selfie with me, you wrote that in my book.
Oh, gosh.
You wrote
oh,
low gosh. Mood, eat food. And I've never forgotten it. And I always say that to people. Yeah. You wrote that in my book, in your book that I bought to get you to sign. And I've never forgotten that. And so I always eat first, and I always tell my athletes to eat first before they make any decisions. I'm like, the first thing you fucking do is have to eat something. But what if it doesn't shift? What do you do? Like, I was trying to go, like, do I want to listen to music? What do I want to do? Like, I understand what's going on with my brain. I'm not trying to distract myself. I accept the fact that I'm thinking that I'm a piece of shit. That's fine. I'm used to that. But I just need to do something else.
I mean, there's two or three other sort of pointers I would tell my athletes and hopefully myself. One of them simply is, like, remember, you signed up for this, and it probably costs a lot of money, and you've been looking forward to it for months. And it's easy to, like, forget that and just want it to be over and go, oh, this is a bit tough. And actually, the fact it's tough is probably why we picked it in the first place, because we wanted to do something that would challenge us. And these are the moments that make it, you know, worthwhile when we finish. So, you know, persevering when it's difficult, that's exactly, you know, that's our test of character. Those are the moments. So there's an element of that. And then, you know, the old classic sort of, I was going to do an American accent then, but I won't. But, you know, the
do.
Gratitude. Howdy.
Howdy.
Yeah, the gratitude stuff, you know, remembering you're lucky to have the health and the money to do this stuff. It's easy to forget that. And then I've got a couple of good friends who were really helped me a lot when I was getting into ultra running, and neither of them can run anymore. And they'd love to be doing the Spine or Tour de Gion. So when I'm suffering, they're jealous of me, you know, and you've got to remember, actually, you know, again, back to the sort of fortune of it. So I try and circle back on those things. And then also, yeah, I mean, how much does it really matter? Ultimately,
it's funny, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter. But I honestly believe that, like, that those are the moments that you fucking come face to face with yourself. And it's like, this is what we paid for. Because that is what you paid for, isn't it? That's what, that in the middle of the night, 2:30 in the morning on that moor, being like, fuck's sake. Like, come on, Ali. Like,
yeah.
Hannah Rickman, God, we love Hannah, don't we? Should we start a fan club? She said something really good when I interviewed her. And she said, you either laugh or you quit. And that kept coming back to me. I was like, you either laugh at this or you just fucking stop. And you're not going to stop, so just laugh at it. Yes, you are going through a river, and yes, it is really horrible, and it is 2 o'clock in the morning, but that's the best way to do it. But I was listening to music. That's what I was doing. I was like, well, I'm going to listen to this album. I downloaded the albums I wanted to listen to, or thought I might want to listen to, my comfort albums, and I did that for a bit. But then I got to the point where I was like, I fucking hate music. Then I got to the point where I was like, music ruined my life. it's quite sick, Damien, I'll be honest with you.
It's what, sorry?
Quite pathetic. There was lots of toys being thrown all over the panel.
So we're still in the first night here. What sort of time are we talking about?
My dark time, my time that I just lose my shit is between 2 and 5 a.m. every race.
Well, that's probably not surprising. That's probably when your body is like, hold on, we want to go to bed, so to speak, now. I guess. So it's tiredness, right?
Tiredness. Yes.
So
How do you have your times where you're like from this time to this time, or from this distance to this distance, that's when I'm going to lose my shit?
I think it's the time of day. Yeah, I think it's that similar time. So first of all, it's like, have I eaten enough? Have I drunken enough? Can I have some more caffeine? Then it's like distraction tactics, or music. I put on Take That usually.
Shut up.
Or alternative music options are available, thankfully.
If you haven't listened to that first Take That album on a run, you've not lived. It's banger. It's just banger after banger after banger after banger. It's a dance album. You're welcome. When you win Tour de Géant because you were listening to the first Take That album on repeat.
Could it be magic? Okay, thanks for the tip. So yeah, but around 5 o'clock, the sun's coming up, right?
3 o'clock. Quarter
3
past
o'clock.
three. Quarter past three, I switched my head torch off because it was one of those mornings that was really, really clear. So you could see it breaking, and I was like, right, quarter past three, switched it off. I could see what I was doing. It was quite incredible. And
Did that help with your mood at all or
no,
not?
it didn't help with my mood because I still knew it was quarter past three. I went to the Tri Club stop, and I had a vegan bacon, facon, and
Oh
mushroom.
yeah.
And I walked into the. Have you ever been in there? Did you ever stop there?
I had the same cuisine as you in the winter, but I don't think I went in as such.
How did you just like grab it and run off?
I ran away. I thought I had to pay and I didn't have any money, so I just did a
Oh,
run
I
off
had
with
to
it.
pay. Do you know what my athlete, Robert, he did a really good favour for me. You're going to love this. He got me a bag of money, £40 in change for the tuck shops.
In what fivers?
No, in change, in coins.
That's
Yeah,
heavy.
I thought you'd like that. Right. So this bloody Tri Club, right? We all know how much I don't like triathletes. I was like, really, really hope that they have not listened to any podcasts I've ever done. And I walked in there, and there was a carpet. It was like two tents. Oh, by the way, everybody, this is a pop-up checkpoint that sometimes appears, and it's really lovely. And it's not official, is it? The triathletes and the mountain rescue just set it up. It had a chimney outside it that was burning wood, so it smelled amazing. They had three tents, a generator, fairy lights. When you went in the tent, there was a table which had loads of nice food on it, like melon, crisps, oranges. They made me a fake bacon burger with a bit of courgette and some mushroom in it. And when I looked into the tent and sat in the tent, there were these chairs, and they had foil blankets on them and rugs. And there was scented candles in there, and there was fairy lights, and they were like, "You can sit in here if you want." And I went, "No." And I
Oh,
stood
because you're in
there
race mode.
eating my bacon. No, I was just in rat mode, and I stood there eating my little sandwich. And then I started to look at the chairs and think, "I might just sit in one for a minute." So I did sit in one for a minute. And I
Beware the
so
chair.
fucking wish I'd had a sleep in it. I should have had a sleep in it. I was in there for about 7 minutes, and then I left. And I should have slept in there, but I didn't. What a dick. What a dick.
Okay, and how are things after
They were quite bad, Damien.
that? Good, let's get more into this. How bad?
Pretty bad.
Okay.
Like, pretty
Were
fucking
you?
bad. I was really tired. And I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever done, and this is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Not though, is it?
I think it might be, you know, it's up there for races. It's like one of the hardest races I've done. I don't really know why, but loads of people have said that. And I was asking you why. On paper, it doesn't look like that's that hard. Like, it's like not fucking that hard. It's not very much vert, is it? Why is it so
I
hard?
suppose the terrain, the weather and terrain weren't being particularly friendly.
They were, though. It was nice. It wasn't, you know, it was
Oh.
underfoot. It was boggy, but like, it's like, why is it so fucking hard? I think it's the lack of support. It's the lack of seeing people. It's the lack of being able to jog along chatting to people because there isn't anyone to chat to. It's like the owls, the screechy owls. A lot of time in your own head. I was tired from the tour, and when I got to, and I really wanted to go to sleep. I just wanted 10 minutes. I just thought, if I can get 10 minutes, but there was nowhere to go to sleep because I couldn't lay down anywhere because it was fucking soaked. Everything was soaked. I would have been absolutely soaked. Even in your bin bag, I would have been soaked. So I was like, and also, I'm a woman, and I was very aware of that fact. And I was like, if I lay down here, it's very unlikely, but I feel very vulnerable to this situation. I'm tired. I don't think I could fight anyone off. Usually, I could probably fight someone off, I reckon, quite scrappy. But I'm like, I don't want to. I just don't think I'll be able to go to sleep. It's a waste of fucking time. I want to go somewhere. I want to be enclosed somewhere. so I don't feel scared. I should have slept at the check at the try point. And I ran past a dude as I came into Malham, just in his bivvy, out by the river, having a snooze. And I was like, you fucker. And I kind of almost thought about setting up next to him. Then I thought, that's really creepy. So I won't do that. And then when I got to Malham Tarn, which is just a monitoring station, oh my God, they were so nice. That was the best. It was just the best. I went and slept on the porch like a homeless person.
So we've seen pictures of this, and in my expensive lightweight bivvy bag. But you were on just like a stone surface.
I went for a bit of concrete.
So did you actually sleep on that hard stone?
I fucking
so you must have been quite tired.
Sparko, like that. Gone.
Did you set an alarm, or did you? Do you know how long you slept for?
I set an alarm for 20 minutes, and I slept for 10 minutes. Woke up and was like, I'm awake now. And then I went back into ate a whole slout, a whole ginger cake, or half of. Whole ginger cake that I had.
Oh, the ginger cake, right. So apparently you'd asked Renee McGregor pre-race, what should you carry?
Another one of your athletes. Cake.
Another one of my athletes who you'll try and steal off me.
No, I'm not trying to steal.
If you haven't already.
She rang me for some advice, thank you. And then I said to her, by the way, what should I eat? Because, you know, she's just like the leading nutritionist. We talked about ginger cake. So I bought a whole Jamaica ginger cake, put it in my drop bag. And then at halfway, I took it out of my drop bag and put it into my main bag.
And then did you use it as the pillow for your sleep? Because it looked like it. Okay. Yeah. I'm without sounding patronising, I'm impressed with your, what's the word, you know?
Ingenuity.
That's
I
one
used
of them,
the whole bag
words.
As a pillow, to be fair. And it was just in there.
Oh, okay. And, did you eat, next question. You did eat, you literally woke up, reached behind your head, pulled out a whole ginger cake.
I thought to myself, when I was getting in that bivvy, I'll take my shoes off because it's not mine. That was nice of me, wasn't it?
Oh, wow.
I took all my clothes off. I didn't really. I took all my clothes off. I got in it. I thought, I hope he doesn't fucking ever know that I did this because I haven't put it on a mattressy thing. But little did I know that one of the SST was actually taking photos of me in it. Woke up. I was like, right. Shit. I felt amazing. 10 minutes was all it took. I was like, I feel so much better. And then I went straight back into the checkpoint. And I, what was really nice is the dude that came out to get me, Dom, in the winter spine, I'd gone to get him off the hill as when I was safety team. So it was quite sweet because he was like, I'm coming to get you now. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not DNFing, mate. Maybe it was too soon to say that to him. And went in there. The doctors were really nice to me. One of them gave me some codeine and to snort. And everybody was laughing and having a nice time. And I ate half the ginger cake. And then the women who were behind me came in and I started to get like, oh, no. So I ran away.
Oh, there's a couple of things there. So what was in pain? What bits of you were in pain that needed pain?
I've got this like history of anterior tendonitis in my right left foot. And it's really rare that it happens, but it was happening, and I think it was because I was going quite quickly for me on the solider stuff. When I was getting to solid stuff, I was like, let's fucking crack on. And it just was really sore. And I, you know, when your brain goes mental and starts to go, you're going to get a stress fracture and you're going to be in a boot and you won't be able to drive and then your business is going to go bust. You're going to go bankrupt. Everything that you love is going to be taken from you and you're probably going to go back to the booze. It went from this hurts to that in like 3 seconds.
Yikes.
So I messaged Holly. I was like, my foot hurts. My tendonitis hurts. And she just said, we can chop it off after. Keep going. I was like, okay then. So I decided to.
Good coaching. Perfect quality coaching. The other thing was, that was interesting. No, go on. Sorry.
So yeah, it was that. And then I felt sick, obviously, because everyone feels sick. Do you feel sick when you're running?
No.
Do you not?
Not really. I threw up at the tour last year, but that was the only time I've thrown up. I don't think I do. No, I don't.
Do you ever feel like you're going to shit yourself?
No, I get if we want to go down that avenue, I get the opposite stuff.
Do
so
you?
That's it. That's good for a day or two.
Does it start coming out of your mouth like you're talking shit?
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't
very
it?
Very good. That was good. That was good for you. Yeah.
It's hot
but with this is about you. This is about you. I know you're reluctant to talk about yourself, but what's interesting there is you said, so had you been thinking, did you know you were a fifth place at that stage, I think, weren't you? Fifth place female?
I don't know.
So, but you hadn't mentioned being competitive at all, but when you saw some other female runners, you suddenly felt competitive?
I love Holly, right? I love her. But she was messaging me and telling me, like, they're, you know, she was saying how far away they were. And she was like, you can hold on. And I'm like, hold on to what? I don't understand what I'm holding on to. Like, she was like, you got to keep going. I was like, I'm not going to stop. There's no way I was going to DNF that race. It just wasn't going to happen. But she, I think she, I don't know what it was, but she comes at it from a very different angle to me. If I'm told where I am, it starts to freak me out. That's what happened on the Wild Horse. I was like, I don't like this at all because it's not why I'm here. And also, it's another reason for me to be an absolute arsehole to myself. So I knew I was like at the near the front. I honestly didn't give a shit, but I don't like it when I felt like if people started to overtake me, because I haven't been overtaken by anyone for about 15 hours, that would mean that bad things were going to happen, that it was getting worse. I was getting worse in some way. So I just didn't want anyone to overtake me, men or women. I just didn't want anyone to overtake me, which wasn't like where I am in the pack. It was just that I don't want to feel shit. So I was really concerned, and I was trying to catch people to keep me going. So if I could see someone, I was going to try and catch them.
Wow, that's really interesting. So it's almost it's not a competitiveness. It's almost not a self-preservation thing, but it almost you'll be in a better mindset about what you're doing.
I feel like if I start to feel like I'm slipping back or people going ahead of me, that means that I'm awful. Is that weird?
Okay. Is that weird? Yes and no. No, I mean, yeah, in a race, there's an emotional rawness, isn't there? It's quite, and therefore little things can really, on the pendulum, swing on my
stuff. So I don't know whether the spine is different, but like when you go to a race, do you go to the race to win it? Really and honestly, do you go to win it?
It depends on the race. So
let's say the spine.
Yeah.
Right. So from the start, you're like, I'm going, this is the A game. I want to win the race.
Yes, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be like in first place all the time, because that might not be the cleverest strategy. But at the spine,
have you got someone updating you all the time, or do you completely come off comms?
Well, I've tried both, and so I ended up. So 2 years ago at the spine, I DNF'd when I was four. I had a 4-hour lead at the front, but I was pushing. I was still pushing too much, and I injured myself, and that was crushing to DNF when you definitely want to carry on because you've got a four hour lead on a sunny day.
Was that when you got overzealous on a style? Or was that a different time?
Overzealous on a style. That sounds a bit like there might have been some gyrating or
dancing, maybe to take then, that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some of those styles are quite shapely, and, you know, I hadn't seen a female form for a while. So that year, in all honesty, I was getting regular updates, and I realized now that wasn't helpful to me. And I was looking as well. So the next year, I totally switched off all of that, and I intentionally stuck in sort of podcasts that weren't about running and just tried to distract myself and just, you know, ignore that competitive element, and that worked much better.
Mm-hmm. See, I think that works much better. And I honestly believe that going at it from like a, I'm just really grateful and I'm going to really try and do the best I can for myself, for me, because I'm not fucking going to win anything, is the best way of doing it. Because then it keeps my spirits up better. But if I see someone ahead of me, I will try and chase them. Like, I just will. I think that's just a natural human thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's really good to know that about yourself. And then so... it'd be interesting to know, if the listener emails in and lets us know what they think. That's a study of three. Then it'd be fascinating to know if everyone is like that or whether people are different. But it's really interesting to know that, about how will you be mentally to sort of good and bad news in a race is really useful to know.
Having been a coach, where's my spiky ball? There's my spiky ball. Having been a coach. For men and women and everything in the middle. Do you think, so I, having watched races, I see that blokes, sometimes the ones that go out to win, when they're not winning, they just stop. And they're like, I don't want this on my record. I don't want this to, and it's like, what record? Like when you get to death, are you going to be judged on how many races you've won? Like, I don't get it that blokes just stop and they're like, fuck it, I'm not doing it anymore. I don't see that in women. Do you feel the same about it? Like, if they're not going to win, if they've gone out to win, they're just going to fucking stop.
Yeah, I think, well, yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think it's really interesting.
A previous big obsession in terms of races in our sport was UTMB. And that's what, I did UTMB 4 years in a row. And yeah, that was what was happening. Well, it's like, it would be unfair to say women don't DNF their, women don't go out too hard and get it wrong. I think that does happen, but I don't think it happens nearly as much. Yeah. And early on in the sport, when I was sort of studying other runners, it was definitely, it was actually, yeah, it was female runners who seemed far more together, far more nails. People like Nikki Spinks, Beth Pascal, Lizzie Hawker back in the day for the older listener. And some of that, oh, and the fascinating debate was before Jim Walmsley won UTMB, no American male had won it, although at least four American females had won it. And the debate was always, oh, it's the terrain, it's the geography, it's the travel. And it's like, well, hold on, how are the American women winning UTMB and not the American men? And I actually thought it was ego, because
that's what I think.
Go out hard. Yeah.
Because I'm like, look, even if I don't, well, if I don't do as well as I want to do, at least this is like, I see it as like, oh, this is the greatest recce I could possibly do, or it's a good experience. I'm going to learn something about myself. So regardless of what the outcome is, even if it's like the plan C that you hit, it's still a really good learning experience. That's how I see it. So why would you stop? You paid to do it. You've put the time in. Like, why would you stop? But obviously, it's just a different way of seeing it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's really fascinating, the different, well, I suppose, different psychologies between male and female, if there is one, and it seems, I think we're kind of agreeing there might be. But it is intriguing. It is intriguing. And
it is.
Yeah, well, there was that study that showed when we get to, I think, 100 mile, 198 or 199, that women should be equal, if not better, to men. But that's quite a long way to wait.
I know, it's a really long time, isn't it? It's a fucking long time. This was long enough.
Just got to do the warm-up. Yeah.
I'm very aware of time. Listen, when I got to the Cam Road, when I got to Penygent, I had a fight with a man on the hill, basically, and started to cry because he told me there was no more hills. And I'm like, that's bullshit. He wasn't in the
Hold
race.
On, we need to hear more about this, because I did jot this down. I saw your Instagram story. So so you really did burst into tears and swing at him.
Yeah, punch him in the face. I didn't punch him in the face.
That is fair enough.
I felt like I was the last person on earth, because I hadn't seen anyone for ages. And then I was chasing down these blokes in front of me. When I got to them, they weren't in the race. They were just out for a walk.
Were they just out for a run?
And then I got over the hill and then I saw Penn again, and I'd not seen it on the recce because it'd been so claggy and I could see the fucker and it was miles away. And I was like, fucking hell. So I cracked on, and when I got, and I was like, I need to go to sleep. I need to have another sleep. So I sat at the bottom of Penygent and thought, I'm going to go to sleep. And I was like, no, you're not. Get up, back on. And then as I was going up, this bloke came up behind me and he was like, oh, hi, well done. And I was like, thanks. And he went, last hill. And I was like, no, not last hill. And he went, yes, it is. I went, it's fucking not the last hill. And he went, well, I'm on the safety team. And it is. I'm like, it's not the last hill. I've recce'd it. He went, look, I was at kit check. I'm on the safety team. It's the last hill. I was like, wrong fucking audience, mate. And I was like, it's not. I was like, after this, then you go down to Horton, then you go back up. I said, you go up the Cam Road and it goes up for fucking ages. It's like the biggest hill and it goes on forever. No, it doesn't. It's flat. I just looked at him and went, I'm just going to sit down and have a bit of a cry now. And then he left. And I just sat there on the edge of Penygent and had a massive cry. And then I was like, pull yourself together, you stupid twat. And cracked on.
That is brilliant. And I suppose that's probably around the same time that I sent you some advice on the route and you, yeah, accused me of mansplaining.
No, you sent me the don't go wrong. That was probably 3 hours after that had happened.
No, but you'd already accused me of mansplaining before that for some probably very legitimate reason.
Sometimes I think that you think that I don't, that I just don't know what I'm doing. Is that what you think? I just don't know what I'm doing.
Of course not. You're good at this stuff.
I can read a
fucking map.
It's
the opposite. Do you remember the message I sent you before the race?
You sent me quite a lot of messages that are quite abusive, so I can't remember. Was it the one that said that I was good at it?
Listener, this is not true. Yes.
Yeah, I know, but I thought that you were drunk.
I probably was.
Yeah, anyway, I did appreciate your messages. They were very helpful to me because they gave me this sort of rage that kept me going, a bit like type stuff. But then you go on.
There's a tangent. Honestly, go on.
When I got to the Cam Road, I started to hallucinate before I got onto the Cam Road as I was going along the road towards Penygent, and I started seeing really fucked up, weird shit, like bald eagles nestling in with cows and people everywhere.
Oh.
but there were no
Sounds
people.
Sounds cozy.
Yeah, and then Pickle's funny, and then then it was the Cam Road, which is horrible, isn't it?
It's very monotonous, sort of. Yeah, climb. Yeah, no, that is tough.
And then it started to rain
Yes.
again. Really,
Oh, good.
Really fucking go for it rain. 40 mile an hour wind. Like, you know, as you come up towards, before you just go right into Hawes, so you're coming up and you've got that valley and there is like the clag was just flying over the top. So it was like being in Wales. Like, this is quite amazing. If it wasn't so awful, it would be amazing. But then it got to the point where it was like, am I going to put my fucking goggles on? Because it was so windy and so rainy. And when I took the right over to go off up over towards Hawes, it was so claggy, I could hardly fucking see my hand in front of my face. And I just thought to myself, fuck, there's going to be people up here that don't have the right kit because their kit will already have been soaked. And I felt like worried about them. I felt like I should wait for them or something. But I also felt like I was with someone. For the last 4 hours, I felt like there was someone with me, like another person, and I kept like checking to see if they were there, but someone I knew. I thought it was Robert, my athlete, for a bit. Then I was like, where's Pickle? Pickle's here. Then I was like, I should be offering my food to this other person. And I still can't work out who the fuck they were. And then I started seeing people everywhere. I started seeing my friend Tom, the photographer, but it was just Cairns. I was like, oh shit, Tom's there. I better make sure that I'm running so that it looks good on the photo. And then I was like, there's people in the thistles. Is that a deer? And then I was like, what's that? Like, it was like night hallucinating, but in the day, it was mental. Fucking mental. It was all just mental. And then
brilliant.
Everything was fine.
Yeah. How did it feel to finish?
Actually, I was absolutely fine. Like, I ran across those fields. Everything was cool. My foot was fucking killing me, but I ran across them and then I came in and then it was all cool. And I didn't fall over and I didn't do the dramatics and I didn't. And Nikki Spinks was there, made me a cup of tea. That wasn't a hallucination, it actually happened. And then I managed, and then everything's fine. Like, it was all fine. Like, I honestly think if I'd have had a half-hour kit at that checkpoint, I could have cracked one. Really. Just seeing people makes such a difference. I'm like, as much as I'm like a lone wolf and I spend a lot of time on my own, I live on my own, the radio's always on, I've got the dog to talk to, like, I like my people, and I found it very, very isolating. And I think that's the thing that really did my head in.
Ah, interesting. Because actually, yeah, talking of, there was another woman behind you, only about a kilometer behind you for a long, long time.
Yeah,
and
25
I considered
minutes
messaging
behind me.
Yeah, I considered messaging you, and then I thought you might not.
What
that would have
gonna,
been interesting,
what
wouldn't
were you
it? Because
message
you sort of, well, I didn't know if you knew you were in fifth place, but you know, when I finished fifth at UTMB, I celebrated like I won it. So, you know, fifth is competitive. Fifth is top five. So,
is it?
Well,
wow. Mansplaining,
yeah,
again,
important.
Damien.
If you finish fifth, you're in the top five people to finish. Did you know that,
wow,
Ellie? Because you're a woman, you might
incredible.
Not have known that.
I didn't know that. No, thank you so much for that.
That's maths. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I wouldn't know,
oh,
would
gosh.
I? Because I wasn't allowed to
I'm
do
getting
maths
cancelled.
At school. I was too busy doing home economics.
Do you know what? I've got a home economics GCSE.
Have you?
Grade E. There are only two boys in the whole school that did it. Because, you know, it was either that or design technology, and that sounded a bit dull, and there
is
are more
the
girls in
reason
the home
that you
economics.
did, exactly, that's why you did home economics, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's the
I got a
same
grade E.
reason that I did A level theatre studies, was because I was at a girls' school, but the boys, because no one did theatre studies, so the boys and the girls would do it together, and I was like, perfect. But the guys that were doing theatre studies, they had zero interest in me at all, and I was quite upset about that. Did get an A though, which is interesting, isn't it? Can you believe I got an A in drama? I'm so undramatic.
Actually, oh gosh, where to start? We've taken a tangent there. But that was interesting. No, yeah, that was the thing. So you would have liked to meet someone and have a bit of company. However, if another woman or another runner had caught you up, would you have actually liked that? Because earlier you spoke about that would have made you maybe feel like you weren't doing so well.
I think actually, if it would have been a bloke, I would have been all right. But
okay.
Not because of, but if, and if it would, actually, if it would have been anyone, that's not true. If it would have been anyone, one of the things I really, really like about these races is the, when I watch them as safety team or when I watch them as volunteer or when I'm on them, is the way the women interact with each other. And I don't know if the blokes interact with each other in the same way. So the way the women interact with each other is just all love. That is all it is. There isn't really a, I got to the point where I was like, I knew that I was fifth, and I was like, I don't really give a shit where I come. If I come seventh, I'd like to come top 10. I reckon I probably can. That'd be lovely, right? Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter to anybody. And I really honestly believe that. It's just me making myself feel like I'm getting slower and shitter. Like, I don't know what that is. I need to look at that. I really need to look at it. But if I remember Mel Sykes, she came third or second, and she had a little friend, a man friend that she met at Hebden. She ran with him the rest of the way. I was like, oh, that's so nice. She met a little man friend. I love it. I wish I'd had a little man friend. But the only friends I had were the imaginary ones. So that was it.
Like normal life then.
Just like normal life. And so, but the way the women interact with each other is just incredible on these races. I honestly don't know if it's the same with blokes. I don't know if it's the same. But I'll tell you what's going to be interesting. Winter Spine 2025. The female lineup is incredible. It's incredible.
Is that including you?
No, I'm doing the Winter Downs 200 this year. I'm going to be safety teaming on the Spine because I want to see this unfold because it's going to be
so good.
Who
have we got? Hannah Rickman?
Rickman. Sarah Perry. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
There's another one. Who's the other one? Laura Swanson-Rivellin.
I might have a couple of strong female athletes, but they wouldn't like me piling pressure on them, so I'm not going to mention them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not piling pressure. I'm just saying those are the people I know, and there's a couple of others that I know as well that I'm not going to say because they told me not to. But we don't give a shit about the blokes race, whatever. Like, do your thing. Go over there and go out too quick and do your thing, right?
And DNF, yep.
It's the women's race to watch. But I'm like, I wonder how they'll interact with each other because, you know, it's just going to be amazing. I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. That I did have two remaining questions. And one was, yeah, how are you feeling about the Winter Spine 2026?
Oh, I don't know. I do know. I do. I think I don't know. I don't know. What's the point? What's the point in it?
What's the point in any of this?
Like, I do feel like I have to do it now. But like,
you don't have to, but I sense you were intrigued.
Yeah. I think I need to have a massive cry and then I need to like think about my values.
Power sob.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do want to do it, but do I want to do it within the race or do I just want to go and do it with my dog? Don't know.
Nikki's snack bar will still be open.
I love Nikki's snack bar. So and... good, isn't it? Do you ever go in there? Or do you just run past it? Have you never been in there?
Just run past it. I haven't actually, no.
I think you should go in there. I think you should just, like, next time you're up here, I think you should just go in there and say hello to them. They'd love it.
Maybe I will. And the other question was, yeah, and on the socials, you said you felt quite proud of yourself. And does that feeling remain?
No.
That is, no. Why?
Because I'm not very good at that, Damien. And it's okay to say that you're not very good at that. I'm just not
hold
very
on,
good
not
at
very
it.
Good at that, as in running long distances,
no,
or
no,
not very good
I'm
at
not
sort
very
of
good
being
at
good
just
to yourself.
Being good
Nice
to myself.
Yourself.
I'm always like, what's the next thing now then? What's next? The other thing that I've got is, and I've told you this before, I think that if I can do it, it must be easy. That's what I think. Because I'm not very good. So I think if I can do it, it must be easy. And like all of the shit people send me, like as in Holly and like people being nice to me, I'm like, that's nice. But it goes straight to the top of my head. And I'm like, well, I need to work on that. That is something that in the next year I'm going to work on with a person because I'm not very good at it. But at the time I was like, I am pleased because it did have a 3 in it. And could I have tried harder? Yes, I probably could have tried harder. Was I a bit of a baby? Yes, I was a bit of a baby. But I've not done anything like that before. I've not had people to help me. So it was the first time I've done it really, really on my own. And I did really struggle without having my crew and my pacers. I like my crew and my pacers. However, I'm very proud that I managed to get around being absolutely soaked to the bone without being like, fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore. I did really well with my outfits. I looked amazing. But I kept myself dry most of the time. And I did all right with food. And I didn't end up like shitting through the eye of a needle everywhere. You'll be thrilled to know. And I didn't throw up.
Especially not in the bivy bag. Okay.
Oh, no, the bivy bag's full.
Okay.
I just whacked it in the washing machine on a really hot wash. Is that all right?
That's fine. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
No problem.
Don't really have to send it back.
Well, I can, but it's in a few couple of bits, so. It's fine.
I was going to say, positive things, but they'll be wasted on you. I thought you're terrible.
Top banana, top coaching. Thank you very much. Always leave wanting more. Thank you for doing this with me. I appreciate it. It means that I got to talk to Paul Alban. Isn't St. Albans? St. Albans? Auburn. Sorry.
Damon Auburn. That's how I remember it. Auburn. Damon Auburn.
Think of that.
Paul Damon Auburn. Should we just call him Damon Auburn?
Let's call him David. That might get quite confusing.
That's what we want then.
Right. I appreciate you. I appreciate you doing this with me. Thank you very much.
It was fun tracking you. You did good.
Mm. Are you sitting in a child's PlayStation chair?
I hope that sigh was audible, listener.
It was.
No.
And for the last thing I would like from you is, if anybody was thinking of doing any of the spine races, what are your top three tips?
bear in mind the kit list for winter, at least, is epic and expensive. But there are ways around that. Secondhand items, you may be able to borrow things. You can borrow my bivy bag because it's now useless. Jump right in, actually. But the winter spine race was my fifth ultra marathon. And I shouldn't really have probably been jumping right in, but jump right in. It's a cracking adventure. Also summer probably sounds, how is it? How's the summer one?
It wasn't very summery. It was really, really wet. It was shit. It was really shit, but I am proud of myself that I got around it. It wasn't how I thought it would be. It wasn't that nice trail I thought it would be. It was just, my feet were soaked for the whole fucking time. And everything was.
Was it brutal, Ali? Was it? Go on,
no,
say
it.
It
wasn't
say
brutal.
It wasn't brutal.
Brutal is like, I'll tell you what brutal is. Read my fuck at the end of my fucking book or the middle of it. That's brutal. Once you've been to the point of like that, nothing's brutal. And even when I was on it, I was like, this is one of the hardest races I've done because of the loneliness, because of me being stuck in my own head. But is it as bad as fucking like that breakdown? No, nothing will ever be as bad as that. So it's not brutal. Like, I think something like Tour de Gion is brutal because that is like, you're just up, like you don't even have any respite. Whereas at least with the spine, you get a bit of respite. You've got a bit of time. You've got, the bits of it that are like, oh, this is okay. I can run down this. I think stuff like the big spiky scary mountains, those are the things that will rip your head off. Having said that, while I was in it, I was like, this is definitely the hardest, one of the hardest races I've done. 100%.
Hmm.
That was your question. That was a bit ranty.
No, I think when you put it in life context, yeah, it's not brutal, is it? And therefore, I don't agree that the Tour de Gion is brutal if you
none
put
of
it
it
in that context.
Really, none of
no,
it is
it's
brutal,
not really, is
because
it?
We've all
no,
fucking
we
chosen
do this
to do
voluntarily.
It. What's going on in fucking Ukraine is brutal. That is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Like, this is all choice. This is a hobby. So I think it's really important just to like take yourself out of it a little bit. And the only reason I do this podcast stuff, the only reason I talk about this stuff on Instagram the way I do is because I want other people to give it a go. Because it really teaches you a lot. And there's no way I'd be going and like questioning the way my brain's working with therapists if I didn't go and do this stuff. I'm like, that has got to stop. That is not helpful. So you need to, and you can't do it on your own. So you're going to have to go and fucking get some help on it. So that's why we do this, isn't it? Because we want other people to give it a go. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a coach and I wouldn't be a coach and we wouldn't be sitting here going, talking shit into the ether. Go and give it
to
a go.
Listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great, mates.
Is that what you were saying? Yeah, isn't it funny, isn't it? We spend two-thirds of the race going, this is awful, this is, I wish it was over, this is, I hate myself, things like
but
that.
But then I'll also
and
never
then,
forget
and then
standing
we go
in
and...
the dark, listening to the owls and looking at the moon and thinking, that water is so still. Like, I'll never forget that. That was incredible. I'll never forget seeing all of the ghosts coming off the water, like the water ghosts that come up. I'll never forget seeing that sunrise. So there is
and
that
you saved
stuff
the
as
hedgehog.
Well.
You saved a hedgehog's
I
life.
I don't know if I did save him.
Oh.
He wasn't very well at all.
Oh.
But
what did
I
you
tried.
Feed him?
Slug.
Was it the ginger cake?
I fed him a slug. I found a dead lamb.
And you
lamb.
Killed a lamb. You found a dead lamb. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I tried to cut
The toads.
The cow.
Did the toads
Oh my God,
survive?
The little frogs. Yeah, there was lots of little frogs. I saw some tiny
They
baby
survive, Ali.
rabbits. Yeah.
Do you think they're still
Have you
alive?
ever stood on a
Okay.
frog? Can I ask you a question?
I can't promise I haven't.
Oh, no, I'm not
Yeah,
going
go
to
on.
say. I'll save it for the next time.
Oh, blimey.
It's vegan baiting, so I'll save it for next time.
Well, yeah. Well done. Nice
Thanks.
one.
Thanks. Nice one. I
Don't
love
normally say
you.
well done.
Thanks for doing this with me. And I'll speak to you in a few weeks or something.
No problem. I was bored anyway. Love you too, in a way. Well
Bye.
done.
Bye.
Nice one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories, because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.